God is the God of opportunity. He's the God of chance. He's the God of forgiveness. He's the God of reconciliation. He's the God of love, and he's the God of judge. And the God of judgment. He's the God that chastens. He's the God that delivers and heals. Amen. But there is a place where he has come and granted us certain things. Can I have this just a little more? He has come and brought his anointing to us. Hallelujah. And he's granted certain things for me and you. In fact, he's given his dominion over all things, hasn't he? But you know, too many people, they settle for better and don't go after best. Hello? And I want to talk about from better to best. Because God wants to give you the best. Amen? That means there's a price to pay. Too many people don't want to pay the price for best. They're content with better. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I'll take this. Cool. Did you ever hear somebody on a job say, well, that's good enough? That's not best. Hello? Now, there's something that we must understand, and God says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully, right? So what he's saying is, give me your best and I'll give you mine. That's in everything that we do, no matter what it is. Paul's such a powerful example of someone that had good and then went to better, but then wanted the best, you know? And he paid the price for it, and he went through everything. And Philippians 3, is everybody there? Praise God. Start at verse 7 and read it with me. He said, But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, which means the anointing, right? Hallelujah. He said, man, all of this letter and all this knowledge and everything I got, man, ain't nothing compared to the presence of God and the anointing. Remember something very important. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you actually accepted him as Savior. Then when the anointing came, he became your Lord. Because only in the anointing of God is he Lordship. Other than that, he's still your Savior. Hello? Okay. And verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. There is something that Paul tapped into called the anointing. That he said, there isn't anything that can compare to the anointing of God. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ or gain more of the anointing. See, he had good, he went to better, and now he wanted best. In fact, even when the anointing was upon him, he wanted more. He wanted more. He wanted the best of God. And like I'm saying, too many people settle for just better and not best. And he found, is everybody there? Hallelujah. He said, what? That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Now listen, I want to go a little further here, but we've got to come to a place where we no longer want to live the way we're living. We want to better not only ourselves as in the form of Christ, but grow. Grow more and more. Everything has been made available for me and you. But the thing is people are willing to settle for better and not for best. And I really believe that grieves the Lord. Because he gave me and you His best. Amen. Far be it that we should just take little bits and pieces from the cross and not take all of it. So, you know, even as you praise and worship, the more you give Him, when you give Him your best, that's how people change. See, I don't care how long you've known or thought you knew God. Until you come to a place where you give Him your best in worship, you don't know Him. You know about Him. I don't care if you pray in tongues. I don't care if gifts are manifested in your life. You don't know Him. Because until you come to that place where you give Him your best in worship, that's when the things begin to change. And only in that place. Why? Because it's the anointing that allows fellowship where He becomes Lord. Other than that, He's still your Savior. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Okay, let's go a little further. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget what? Those things or what's behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now let me share something with you. He is the God of now. He's the God of now. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter how your relationship was yesterday. It doesn't matter anything about yesterday is gone. He is the God of now. What you do right now is waiting for you tomorrow. Has everybody got it? So if you give Him your best tomorrow, what's waiting? If you give Him your best today, what's waiting for you tomorrow? His best. Come on, do you get it? Oh, hallelujah. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are what? Mature. Mature. See, once you get this revelation, it's a form of an area in your life that will allow maturing to start. Has everybody got it? This is an area, it's like a level where maturing begins to establish. Not that we ever reach full maturity. Amen. But in the process of maturing, we're able to reach those areas in certain levels where God will begin to use you, not you use Him. Hello. See, because when Jesus is Savior, people use Him. You are used when He is your Lord. Does everybody get this? Come on, repeat it with me. Jesus is my Savior. I use Him. When Jesus is my Lord, He uses me. Oh, to God be the glory. Something's happening. Let's read this again, 15. Therefore, let us as many as mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you, which He is today. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the what? Same mind. Same mind. I'm telling you, there's such another level of God's presence and anointing when He becomes your Lord and not just your Savior. See, many people use God. And even though they call Him Lord, because the Bible says, many will come before me and say, Lord, Lord. Hello? Amen? And He said, well, I did this in your name and I did that in your name. And He said, yeah, I'll let you use my name. I let you use my name. In other words, they were users of God instead of God using them. Does everybody understand this? See, this is where we go from a place of better to best. Because when you're in a place of better, You come to a comfort level. There's an area where we become complacent in certain things, where we're just content. Now the Bible tells us that we're to be content in all things and things that have been supplied to us. But there's an area where we're never content, and it's with the presence of God. I'm never content. I want more. Hello. There are times when I'd rather just go home. If I can't have it here, then I want it, take me home. Hello? But there is a price to pay, isn't there? Amen? You've got to give him your what? Best. That's why we try to get people out of their chairs. One of these days, you're going to come in here and there won't be any. Ha, 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 ha. What do you mean there won't be any? That's right. You're either standing up or kneeling down. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. We want to move from better to best. Paul was a lover of God, not a user of God. That's how he obtained it. Hallelujah. You know, Paul had it, like I said, he was at a place where he was good and then better, but then he wanted best. And it only comes by knowing him in the fellowship of the anointing and the knowledge of who he is. And that is manifested only in his presence. Does everybody understand that? Only in his presence. See, because there are many people who know of him. Well, how do you know of him? By reading the Bible. That means you know of him. Does everybody understand that? But until he comes a reality as a person, and then you know him in presence. See, there are times when God doesn't have to say a word to me. I know he's there. I know when the Spirit is there, he doesn't have to say a word to me. And I even know what to do. He doesn't say a word. Nothing. And that's where God's presence and anointing is. See, it's just like you, and you've heard me say before, when you come to a red light and it turns green, you don't have to pray for it to go. Hello, do I need to go, Lord? Oh, no. Stay there and get hit. See, there's an area in of your walk where he doesn't have to say anything to you because you know what he thinks. Does everybody understand that? That's called like-minded. You'll start to do something. No, my dad wouldn't do that. You know how many wears those bracelets? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus think? Where would Jesus go? Hello? I mean, they have this, what would Jesus? But see, they can only get that revelation with him through the Spirit. Remember, it was the presence of God that was manifested in Jesus. That's how we got it, wasn't it? Then he came and gave it to me and you. We want to go from better to best. While we're in Philippians, I want you to step back to, maybe we'll step forward, 17. 3:17. Would you read it with me? Brethren, join in me in following my example, and note those who walk as you have for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. Now he says something very powerful. He says these are individuals who are enemies of the cross, or they're enemies of the anointing, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. You will never progress in, as long as your mind is still set on earthly things. You can't. Yes, we live and have our being in the natural realm, but we are from the spirit realm now. We are born again. But if your mind is constantly set on earthly things, that causes no growth. No growth. You can't. You'll never go from better to best until your mind is set on spiritual things, heavenly things. Amen? Come on, let's finish this. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Hello? Say that with me. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things. The enemy of growth and best is by setting your mind on earthly things. That's why people are so caught up on earthly things. So caught up. You know, did you ever get around someone that's constantly talking about earthly things? They're boasting of their past? Man, stay away. You know, you get around someone that talks about I, and I. Three I's and you're out, right? That person just struck out having fellowship with me. Forget it. Why? Those serpents bite. Hello, I got to deal with enough stuff. Those serpents bite. We'll talk more about that. Go to Philippians 4 while we're there. In verse 6, what's it say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow, that's pretty powerful. So one of the enemies that will prevent you from growing and from the best is to be anxious. Amen? Do you know why people are anxious? Because they set their mind on earthly things. Come on, do you get it? When people set their mind on earthly things, they become anxious. It says here in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, he's saying, take your mind off of earthly things. You know, the worst enemy that you have is you. Because you always want to put your mind on yourself. As soon as you get up in the morning, it's, well, I. Hello? And then the devil meets you right there with a list of things. Well, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got it. Well, you three eyes, and you're struck out again. Amen? When we wake up in the morning, we want to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. See, the first thing you want to do is take your mind off of earthly things, not what you have to do. Because, see, if you start your day in the things that what you have to do, you will turn and use God instead of him using you. Do you understand? I'm telling you, this is important because God wants to bring us from better to best. You know, all of these fruits of things, the flesh and whatever, those are fruits. Drugs and alcohol and all of the addictions and all of this, those are nothing but fruits of things that are associated with spiritual roots. And those things are what keeping people and keep their minds set on earthly things. Has everybody got it? So if they keep their minds set on earthly things, they want to serve the world. And they talk about it. You know, the Bible says those who talk about God understand and receive. Those who talk about earthly things, they understand earthly things because what? They are from the world and we are from God. There's a difference. One of the signs that tell us we are hindered from going from better to best is by setting our mind on earthly things. To be anxious says you can't wait. In other words, a person can't wait. They got to have it now. And they'll lie, manipulate, and do everything they can to have it now. There's two things. Either a person is anxious or he's lazy. And an individual that is anxious goes ahead of God. An individual who's lazy can't get up and do what God wants him to do. Amen. Those things will prevent you from getting God's best. And I know everyone in this room wants God's best. So you got to die even more. You got to give him your best to get best. Amen. Go to 3 John. We want to move from better to best. 3 John 3:16. We got a worshiper in the house. And verse 2. Are you there with me? Would you read it with me? Beloved, I what? Pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Wow. So, you know, when there is such a reality of truth, it's because you're walking in the anointing, which is the spirit of truth. When there's such a reality of it, your tone changes. The words that come out of your mouth change. Because what comes out of your mouth is truth. You're able to see things come because the spirit that you're associating with of truth is telling you things to come. You're able to see things. You don't become an accuser. Hello? You don't become a taker. You become a giver. It's totally different. See, the only way that you can get God's best is to give him your best in every area of your life. And it can only be established by the anointing of God. So that means that you must go get God's anointing. Yes, it's available for each and every one. That means that you've got to die. Because the Bible says no flesh will glory in his presence. No flesh. Amen? We must become individuals that look beyond the soulish arena. He says, even as your soul prospers. We must look beyond the soulish arena and the natural arena. You want God's best, then you better come out of that area. You must be able to look beyond the soulish arena and the natural arena. Is everybody with me? Why? Because the Bible says to prosper in your soul is your mind, your will, and your what? Emotions. In other words, your mind, will, and emotions must be the mind, will, and emotions of the Christ now. No longer of you. There's a difference. That's the only way you'll come from better to best. Is everybody with me? Go to 2 John in verse 7. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Christ Jesus is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a what? Full reward. In other words, God's best. Amen. Okay. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, this is powerful. The doctrine of Christ. What's the doctrine of Christ? It's the mind of Christ, isn't it? It's the will of Christ. It's the desires of Christ. It's the present. It's the truth, isn't it? All of these represent the Christ. Anyone who does not, remember when Jesus came, he said, I did not come on my own. He said, this is not my doctrine. Whose doctrine was it? It was the doctrine of the Christ. Has everybody got it? Jesus was just the vessel. That's why the Bible says, don't acknowledge him anymore in the flesh. You know how you acknowledge him? Fiery hair. Woolen hair and fiery eyes. Shubarabokosa. Woolly eyes. Glory to God. Fiery eyes, woolly hair. Hallelujah. Well, you can look it up in Revelation and get more revelation. That is the doctrine of Christ. That's what he looks like now. And it says, now listen. The doctrine of Christ is the mind of Christ, will, emotions, and so forth. In other words, he says, don't let anybody bring you another doctrine, right? In other words, don't agree. Don't agree on earthly mindsets. Because that will prevent you from getting God's best. Do not agree on earthly mindsets. It will stop your growth and it'll prevent God's best. Why? Because we're always moving from good, better, to best. Is everybody with me? 1 Corinthians 15. Just got hot in here. No, you don't have to move. It was me. First Corinthians 15. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 33. Verse 33. Come on, read it with me. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Hello. What are they bringing? Earthly mindsets. They are not bringing the doctrine of Christ. It will prevent you from getting God's best every time. Anxiousness will prevent you from getting God's best. Dishonesty will prevent you from getting God's best. Any works of the flesh will prevent you from getting God's best. Oh, hallelujah. Go to the next verse. He says what? Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of what? God. I speak this to their shame, because they have not learned Christ. They've not understood. They've not accepted the arena about walking in the anointing. They've not learned that you can't be unevenly yoked. They've not learned the difference and discerned the difference between the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of earthly mindsets. Or let me share this with you. They may know them, but they're not practicing them. Because just to know something and not apply it to your life will not bring God's best. You can know it all, Mr. and Mrs. Know-it-all. But if you don't apply it to your life, you'll never get God's best. Those things that he promised you, he'll remove. Because there's always someone willing to replace you in every area. God is God. He don't need us. We need him. I remember when he gave me something, he said somebody else rejected it. Look at what he did with Saul. He chose Saul to be king, didn't he? And then Saul blew it. Why? Because he was mishandling God's vision, God's promise that he gave him to be king. He gave him a certain period of time, and he said, that's it. Now, you got to go now. And then he told Samuel, listen, I found myself another king. And I'm lifting the anointing from him. Never think you can't be replaced. Never. That's pride. Never. It's nothing for God to put knowledge in someone, wisdom or understanding just like this. Never think you can't be replaced. You'll never get God's best if you think that way. Never. Does everybody understand that? Because that puts the focus on self, doesn't it? Always puts the focus on self. Oh, hallelujah. And that's nothing but the doctrine of earthly what? Mindsets. Because if the focus is on self, it's an earthly mindset, isn't it? And it will always prevent you from getting God's best. Hallelujah. And it says, bad company, a person with earthly mindsets, desires of the flesh. They are planters of corruptible seeds. Hello? And they are with the presence of evil. Their spirits will come against the mind of Christ, always. They'll always try to give you worldly wisdom, worldly understanding. Because they really can't hear God. They hear emotion. Many people hear emotion. Well, God told me this, God told me that. No, you felt that and interpreted it as God's voice, but it wasn't. Does everybody understand that? Many people say that. I hear it all the time. You know, God's voice is not always heard. It's interpreted. Do you understand that? God's voice is not always heard. It's interpreted. There's some times when it's just a sweet whoosh that comes by you. Sometimes people can hear it audibly. Sometimes God will speak to them in dreams because they're not listening while they're awake. But God's voice is not always heard. It's interpreted. You can interpret that one. Go to verse 20 while we're here. Would you read it with me? But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own, say, order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Oh, hallelujah. You know what that's saying? If you want God's best, you must submit. Because if you're an individual that does not come under authority, you have none. If you are not accountable, you are certainly not responsible. That will prevent you from getting God's best. What's he saying? Submit to rule and authority until he comes. But here's something you must understand. He's already here already in spirit and truth through the body of Christ. That's why he puts offices in the body of Christ. Because they are ruling his body. He is ruling his body through his offices, isn't he? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. No matter how long you've been a believer, I don't care if you've been a believer 200 years. Hallelujah. Will you believe now if you've been a believer 200 years? I'll tell you that. No matter how long you've been a believer, you still must to submit to the ruling authority that God has directed you to in the fellowship. Does everybody understand it? You know, so many people have a hard time receiving an answer of yes or an answer of no because they refuse to submit. Is everybody with me? Do you understand this? In other words, if you're truly submitting when the answer is yes, or go do this, or so forth, whatever it may be, when God says, listen, I don't want you to do this today, I want you to do that, or whatever it is, however God is impressing you, however it's being interpreted according to the will of God, what we have to do is we get confirmation, don't we? And by so doing these things, it's either a yes or a no, isn't it? That's it. It's either a yes or a no. He says anything after that is what? Of the devil. Because then reasoning and everything else begins to interfere. And then you can't interpret what God says. And God is not the God of confusion, is he? Amen. So if there's an area where you begin to rebel because of a yes or no answer, Hello? Then God sees that you can't submit, so then you can't get his best. It will prevent you from growing. It will prevent you from getting God's best. See, you must be totally sold out. You must be totally sold out. If he tells you, get rid of that car, get rid of that bike. If he tells you, get rid of that relationship, not if you're married. God doesn't tell people to get divorced. I tell people, call me, yeah, God told me to get divorced. Oh, really? For what? Well, I got to go out in full-time ministry and my wife refuses to. I said, man, you need deliverance, brother. Oh, hallelujah. So it doesn't matter. So many people think that, they've gone to classes, they've been underneath preachers and so forth. They've had the hands laid on them. Yes, I received that anointing, this anointing, that anointing, and every anointing that there is. Well, praise God, if you really received all those anointing, why are you still following the devil? Something ain't right. Hello? Now it's getting warm in here. Whew. You know what? The thing is we've got to prevent ourselves from responding to earthly mindsets. Do not respond to an earthly mindset. You respond to the mind of Christ. And the more you respond to the mind of Christ, and your response is according to the mind of Christ, the more God trusts you. Is everybody with me? And the more he'll have your best. His best for you. See, the Bible says, for much is given, much is what? Required. And if you're not being faithful with the much, you begin to lose it. He'll begin to take it. Then you'll work even harder to try and maintain it. You'll do everything you can to try and maintain what God has taken away. Now we come to self-blessing instead of the blessing of the Lord. And what happens is individuals fall into that arena where they can't receive God's best, so they're out doing all they can to get best. And then they call it God's blessing, but it's not. It's self-imposed blessing. And they're producing dead works. I don't care how many people you're helping and what you're doing, it's still dead works. Why? Because it's not ordained by God. The anointing is lifted. The same thing that happened to Saul. Oh, so we cannot respond in a way where it's earthly mindsets. It will cause growth and God's best to be removed. Amen? We must respond according to the mind of Christ. Praise God. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. Go to Romans somewhere. Just roam through the Bible till you hit 12. Chapter 12. Is everybody all right? How many of y'all want to go from better to the best? Amen. Praise God. Quick rumbling in. Grumblers will never get God's best. In fact, they'll lose what God gave them already. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, come on. Get rid of those earthly mindsets. And be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the what? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Those are three wills of God. One returns is a 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. See, if you want God's best, you've got to go into the perfect will then. The perfect will is established for you in destiny. So it's not about works, is it? It's about obedience. It's about divine order, isn't it? See, so many people think it's how much works which gets them in position. It's not about works. It's about obedience. It's about submission. Until people become obedient. You know, there was a brother that, he was going to a church. And he had backslidden. His pastor had told him to go get some counsel somewhere, which he came to see me, and it didn't make any sense about why he would go to this place for counsel. But, you know, I shared with him, you know, you got to obey your authority. So when he obeyed, God delivered him. And he didn't get it through the council. What brought the deliverance? Obedience. Obedience brought the deliverance, not the council. Oh, hallelujah. So we see that there are three wills of God: good, acceptable, and perfect. And when you begin to walk in God's perfect will, you're walking in God's best. Amen? You're walking in His best. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. Start at verse 1. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? You want God's best? Die. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says, that's what Jesus said. He said, listen, if you want to follow me, I got the best. You got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. But you've got to give Him your best. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is in presence, am lonely among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So they had my earthly mindsets, didn't they? They only looked at the flesh. You know, when you talk with people who are carnal-minded, you know, they come against every TV evangelist, you know? Or any place that a church of tithing and giving money, and you know what I'm saying? I remember when I first got saved, and you know, my parents were like, "Man, you can't give that kind of money to the church." I didn't say anything. They didn't get it. They couldn't understand, you know, because you know, being brought up in the Catholicism and stuff, they get an envelope and they put a few bucks in there every 4 weeks or something, you know. There was really not much of a teaching, biblical teachings of truth of tithing and offerings. They were just, you know, whatever. You know. And so when I began to share about certain things of, you know, what we were doing, and you know, because they said, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" "Well, we're doing this and this and that and whatever." And yeah, we just helped build wells here and we gave so much money. And you what? Come on, you need clothes and a car and you need this and you need that. And what about your savings? What about retirement? What do you mean a retirement? Hallelujah. I've got retirement already, man. Praise God. I got a life plan that nobody can have, man. I got life insurance. Praise God. But they didn't understand those things, you know. So why? Because they were carnal mindsets, you know, earthly mindsets. They were focused more on survival in the natural realm. I'm focused on survival in the spirit, man. What, are you crazy? Praise God. I mean, we need to walk in the spirit all the way, not in the natural arena. And let's go on. Verse 3. Would you read it with me? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for what? Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, strongholds are personal bondages. We call them memory lies. They are your personal bondage. Amen? A stronghold. And a stronghold is always associated with an earthly mindset. Has everybody got it? A stronghold is always associated with an earthly mindset. Why? Because that stronghold in your life has allowed the powers of darkness to have access to you and keep you in bondage. Everyone say with me, a stronghold is a memory lie and it's associated with earthly mindset, which allows the devil to have access to me. Come on, do you get it? We want God's best, don't we? Not just better. We want his best. We see that our fight is not flesh and blood, is it? Okay, go to John 10. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Don't let that demon of blank out get on you. Praise God. In John 10 and verse 7, read with me. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the what? The sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have what? Now look at this. This is very important. I may come that they may have what? Life. That's called better. Right? And that they may have what? More abundantly. That's called best. So listen, my daddy didn't come just to bring me better. He came to bring me best. I really believe it's offensive to him when we're not going after the best and settling for better. It's just like going out one of the buying those cars. Well, I settle for the better instead of waiting for the best. Why? Because the spirit of anxiousness, anxiety has pushed that person to buy something or make a decision out of haste. Instead of waiting for God's best, they settle for what's either good. Well, actually, they won't even be good after a while. Once they call God's blessing, then it becomes a curse. Amen? Why? Because if it's not ordained by God, it won't last. Amen? You'll have to struggle, fight to keep it. And it's a terrible way to live. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you ready for more? 2 Timothy 2. A couple more scriptures. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just for you. In verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to who? Faithful men. Who will be able to what? Teach others. Wow. That's why everything we get, we want to be able to what? Teach. Because if you put an attitude of teaching others, you'll become faithful. Does everybody get it? Everything you get, if you can put an attitude about teaching others, you'll find yourself becoming faithful. Because the way you really get it in your spirit is, how am I going to teach others what I just learned? You therefore must endure, stand, hardship. Oh, you must endure what? Hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not no one what? Engaged in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That means what? Earthly mindsets. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you what? Understanding in all things. We are soldiers of His will. Hello? We're to fight those who oppose His presence in the unseen realm. We are fighting those who oppose His presence in the unseen realm. You are not fighting flesh and blood. They will prevent you from getting God's best to cause you to settle for just as good or better. Amen. Go to Psalm 23. Jesus said, I came to bring you what? Life. That's better, isn't it? But we want best, which is called abundantly. Psalm 23. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Are you sure you're there now? Are you ready? Come on. This is very, very powerful, Psalm. It says, the Lord, say the Lord, is my shepherd. Hello. Well, now, wait a minute. We just said that many people just have Jesus as their Savior, but not their Lord. See, this is a change here. Because lordship comes in the anointing. Amen. Now watch as we read this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, He's the one that I get counsel with. He is my overseer. He is my provider. He is my deliverer. He is my healer. He is my Lord. In other words, I am not using Him. He's using me. Amen. Now it says something. He says, I shall what? I shall not want. In other words, I'm not using Him. He's using me. In other words, in this, you will not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. When He is truly your Lord, when He is Lord, not just your Savior, you're getting God's best. You're not lacking anything. And you don't have a desire to want. The only desire you want is more of Him. Because you know He is your provider. He does everything above all you could ever ask or think. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's all you're doing is waiting for that way. That's when you say, Lord, which way do you want me to go? Why? Because I'm not using you. You use me. Does everybody get it? It's different. Why? That's how God gives you best. You know, people are trying to start ministries and do all kinds of stuff. But God is not providing. You know why? Because it's not God. He provides everything when you're walking. Why? Because everything is perfect. The Bible says, be perfect because your Father is perfect. If things aren't happening the way they're supposed to be happening, it's because if God's not providing, then it means it's not God. Hello? And there's some times when God's going to test you. Why? Because He wants you. He doesn't want what you can do for Him. He wants you. Too many people serve God, but they're actually serving man instead of God. Does everybody get it? They want, oh yeah, man, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do all kinds of things for Jesus. Great. Now, you wait so Jesus can do all kinds of things for Himself through you. Because people are out serving man, truly, instead of serving God. Hello? Okay. Let's go to the next verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. He restores my what? How does He restore your soul? By renewing it. Well, listen, we don't want the old soul, do we? We want the soul that He first created. He restores the soul according to the will, mind, and emotions of who? Christ. I mean, I'm telling you, if you read this psalm, it will really get to you. You'll get understanding. He says, He makes me lie down, or He makes me wait. Then it says, He leads me, and then He tells me to go. So I've got to know when to wait and when to go. Then he says, it restores my soul. Well, if my soul ain't restored, I'm not going to know when to wait and when to go. Why? Because he's trying to get me the best. Amen? Hallelujah. He leads me in the path of righteousness for whose sake? His sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's your Lord. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. Your correction, your counsel, your direction, your rebuke. I don't get offended when you tell me I'm doing wrong or I missed it or something. Why? Because you're my Lord. You're chastening, I enjoy because you show me you love me. There's a difference. I'm not going to want anything. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to do everything by prayer and supplication. I won't be anxious for anything. I won't move ahead. And I'll wait. And I'll only go when you tell me. I'll purchase what you want me to purchase, and I'll give what you want me to give. I'll keep my vows. I'll be honest. All of these things associate with either getting God's best or the devil's best. You know, many people become rich because they take the same laws but serve it for darkness. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Verse 5, read it with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. That's called better. Now read the next part. My cup runs over. That's called best. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, the table is always set in front of your enemies. Without that table set, you can't die. You die because that table is set. Why? Because you got to get to that table daily. That's how God's best comes. You must get to that table every single day. God's already anointed you to get to the table. When you get to the table, you get God's best. Why? Because you're following his divine order right from verse 1. Hello? Self has nothing to do with it. He said, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of who? The Lord, not the Savior. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Forever. Ephesians 3. We'll close here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that is with him, he bless his holy name. Give your best. In verse 14, says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love and the anointing may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that what? Works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. There's a time when we must repent for accepting good and losing sight and desire for best. We must come to a place where we repent for not giving God our best. You know, he didn't accept the sacrifices that were marred in the Old Testament. He didn't accept any blemished animals. They had to be perfectly healthy. Even the coats had to be perfect. Those were the sacrifices he accepted. He did not accept three-legged animals. Hello. He accepted a perfect sacrifice because he gave his perfect sacrifice, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you, Master. We are honored and we are blessed. And Lord, we just take this opportunity to repent for every area where we have not given you our best. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, and your grace, Lord. Lord, show us those areas where we haven't given you our best, and give us the strength to give you our best from this day forward. In Jesus' name.